Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
I don't think you just replace Jalen with a better passer and boom, the number one offensive football in five Super Bowls.
I don't think he's a better passer than Mac Jones. Without further ado, the man, the myth, the legend, our friend Big Z, Xander Crouch, joins us now.
What's up, Big Sills? How you doing, brother?
How are you doing?
I'm doing as good as you can get on a Wednesday afternoon. Before a little bit of hopefully some belt to ass tomorrow night on a Thursday night football game.
What if that game is 28-21 tomorrow night?
Eagles, I just want to win the game. I mean, I'm going to be realistic. I mean, we're not clicking on all cylinders right now. So until they get a little bit closer to that, I'm not going to anticipate we come out here and drop 50 on the New York Giants. They got a solid defensive line. They haven't quite been as good as I think we thought they were going to be in terms of on paper.
I think the offense hurts that.
Right. The offense hurts that. They're banged up on offense, man. Yep. I mean, they don't have a lot of players out there right now. So just get the win. Let's get this thing back on the road. You know what I mean? Let's get back in the win column here for the Birds. And yeah, they got to keep building toward, you know, what we want to be. I don't think there should be as much urgency as we've had. And it's natural for us to feel that. But you really don't want to be playing your best football right now. But I think they got to get a little bit more aligned on, like, all right, this is what we're trying to be. Even if we're not there yet, this is what we're trying to be. And I don't think they've quite found that yet on offense. So that's what I'm looking for. But we'll see how it shapes up tomorrow night.
How do you think the impact of a limited Carter and Landon not playing in that game tomorrow night, what impact does it have against the Giants?
I mean, big impact. You got two big players. I mean, that's two, you know, those are two players who are Pro Bowl, all pro players. So there's no doubt that there's impact there. Now,
that lowers your level of talent on your roster a bit?
Well, for sure. Now, I think Carter's going to play. But let's just say for a second he doesn't play.
Or he's limited.
This is the team that you can get away with that
on the defensive line.
Offensive line is actually a little bit worse because the Giants have a good defensive line and create a lot of pressure. So I think Landon might be a tougher loss here. But, you know, here's the one thing I'll say about Landon. It sucks that he's out, but we kind of said this yesterday. It almost is like not a loss because he hasn't been playing like Landon. So you're losing 50% Landon and replacing him with a guy who might have been, I don't know, 40% of him. So you're dropping off a little bit, but I don't think it's a huge drop-off because Landon hasn't been that great this year. I mean, let's be real. If their season ended today, he'd be one of the worst guards in football.
Yep.
You know, now it's early, but I want him to get healthy. I think that's a bigger priority for this team. But no doubt. I mean, that's impact, dude. You got two trench players who are great football players, and you don't have them for a game. That impacts your team. There's no doubt.
You know, dude, when I was listening to Kevin Petula today, he sounded as confused as his offense. I don't want to be an asshole to the guy every day, but I'll tell you, man, I just don't get it. I don't know where he's at.
He just doesn't seem confident in what he's trying to do.
Yeah,
like it almost. And I think you see that with
all
the way
kidding aside.
No, I'm not ragging on him at all. I mean, look, I'm a fan. I hope he has success. I hope he figures it out. I'm not a fire Kevin Petullo guy. I'm just analyzing it as I see it unfolding right now. He just doesn't seem confident, you know, in what he's trying to do. Like if you were, and I think it's proven by the way he's played the games, you know, you have no identity. It doesn't look like you have an identity. And then the second somebody starts lashing out, you run the ball to Saquon Barkley six times. You know, you're like a tumbleweed in the wind. Somebody pulls you this way, you go that way. Somebody blows you back this way, you go this way. You need somebody that has a structure and has a spine in a way. Now, I'm not saying he's a spineless guy. I'm saying you got to have an identity that you stick to regardless of what the moving parts are. You know, and I don't think he necessarily has that yet. And then he gets to the podium and look, it could be a case, Sills, of the Philadelphia Eagles and this city. It's a tough place to coach and a tough place to play, you know, and maybe that skin is, you know, maybe he's cracking a little bit just in terms of you got to be thick-skinned, man, to deal with it. It took Nick a little bit to learn how to deal with it, you know, until Nick was like, hey, I don't give a shit about the noise, you know, and he still cares about it, but he at least fends it off better.
Well, there's a babysitter on the sideline for a reason.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I mean,
I'm not on the fire Petullo bandwagon yet, at least. I don't think he's done a good job. I don't think he's had a good start to his rookie campaign as a coordinator. And he hasn't particularly inspired a lot of confidence in me that I think he's going to turn it around. Even Kellen Moore last year, when he spoke, at least you were like,
yeah, you kind of know where he was coming from.
You felt like he was the guy, like, all right, who's going to do what he's going to do, you know, or know what he's going to do, whether it works or not. Kevin, I just feel like is a tumbleweed in the wind, man, blowing with whoever pulls him the hardest one direction.
I made a comment a couple minutes ago, and I want to explain it before you comment on it. I said, who are they hiring these coordinators for? They hiring them for Jalen Hurts, or are they hiring them for Nick? And what I mean by that is, if you can adjust that quickly away from Jalen Hurts, you're not hiring these coordinators for Jalen Hurts' development. Because that coordinator, most coordinators are hired to get the best out of the franchise quarterback. When you hired Todd Monken, you're not trying to get the best out of Derrick Henry. You're trying to get the best out of Lamar Jackson.
Right.
When you have a guy like Matt LaFleur, he's not trying to get the best out of his running back, Josh Jacobs. He's trying to get the best out of Jordan Love. So are they hiring these coordinators for Nick to be able to coach? Or are you hiring these coordinators to get the best out of your franchise quarterback to continue to develop? And here is where I think that gets exposed. Well, last year you said to me, and you weren't the only one, there were hundreds of people say this, we didn't have to have a big-time passing game last year because we had an iconic run game, okay? Well, when that iconic run game has fallen off and you have to rely on the passing game's not there either. So in a way, it's kind of exposed the lack of development in the passing game. Or how about this? The evolving in the balance. They're just not evolving the passing game. Like you said yesterday too, Xander, we don't have to have 500 yards in passing. You just have to have some sense of balance in this thing. So do you get what I'm saying when I go,
absolutely.
I think they've hired these coordinators for Nick and not Jalen.
I absolutely get what you're saying. Let me ask you this question in response before I answer. What's more important to have? A coach who has a great scheme, who will discard players until he gets the right players for his scheme. In other words, scheme first. Example would be McVay, who had Jared Goff and said, don't want him, need to get Stafford. He stuck to his scheme. Or is it better to have an adaptive coordinator? Example would be a Shane Steichen, who gets Daniel Jones and he coaches him differently than Jalen Hurts. Shanahan's more like McVay, but you get what I'm saying there, where a coordinator will adapt more. You see Sirianni, who used to have Phillip Rivers, now he's in this scheme. There's, you know, Todd Monken, who wasn't always with run-first guys. Now he's adapted to having Lamar. Is that better to have, or is it better to have the offensive genius who won't change what he wants to do based on the player? He'll just find the right player to run what he wants to do. What's better to have?
So you're basically talking about John Gruden and a guy like Kellen Moore, where John Gruden is not going to change his offensive
scheme. Exactly right.
He just is not going to. He believes in his scheme no matter who the Jimmies and Joes are.
Right.
Kellen Moore's going to go by what the roster is.
Yeah, I don't even know if Kellen Moore is a perfect example, because I think he got bullied into running that offense last year.
Okay, he got bullied into running the offense then? Yeah. That just tells you again right there the way they want to win ball games.
I think last year, remember how it started last year and how we got to that point?
Yeah.
It was ugly.
It looked a lot like what it did against Denver.
More turnovers, though. We had seven turnovers in the first four games. Yeah, turning the ball over. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. But to your point, yes, that was my question, because
what would I rather have?
The reason I asked that, though, is like, you're right when you look at the surface of like Petullo, Kellen. They haven't really hired coordinators that you would think, all right, pair them up with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But is it better to have that coach that has a good background, a good foundation of offensive understanding, who will adapt to what Jalen is.
Okay.
Like, is that more important, or should we be out looking for who's the next dual threat quarterback coordinator, like a who's the guy that got hired in Washington? I'm blanking on his name. Cliff Kingsbury. You know, is that more important? I don't know. I don't know if I disagree with find a good offensive mind and allow him to adapt to what you have.
You're hiring these coordinators based on what the general manager has put on the team, not the quarterback. Because the quarterbacks in other places have to rely. Dak Prescott's the only thing going on right now in Dallas. Do you not agree?
Dak Prescott's having an amazing year right
okay.
now.
Okay. Oh, that being said,
but he's having a good year.
Hey, all that being said, you're not putting an RPO guy in there for him because you're trying to run the ball. You're relying on that guy solely.
You're not, but how many? Here's my question: like, how many RPO guys are there? That's what I mean. Like, you might have to find a guy that
There's not very many.
That's what I mean. Like, was Todd Monken this kind of coordinator before Lamar?
No. Remember something. Lamar had won an MVP before him, too. Okay? He had won an MVP in 17.
Who was his coordinator then?
I thought it was Clyde Christensen. I can't remember. But in 17, there was another coordinator in the building. God, I can't remember his name.
We got to correct something. I knew they would get upset when I said Dak's having a good year. Steven says, relax. He beat the two New York teams. Steven, let me ask you a question. Why do you evaluate quarterbacks based on that? When you go to college and Josh Allen went to Wyoming and didn't have a great college career, but everybody could see the talent. So the team didn't matter. And then you look at a team like Alabama who will win a national championship with Blake Sims and Jake Coker and Mac Jones, and those quarterbacks stink.
Bro.
Quarterback evaluation is not just about team. And that's ironic to say in this city because so much of us boost Jalen up because of the team wins. That's not how you evaluate quarterbacks, though.
I mean,
if that were the case, then the top colleges would have the number one, two, and three quarterbacks every year. They never do.
Bro, if you took Dak Prescott off that Cowboy team with the worst defense in football, they'd win three games. They'd win three football games this year, man.
I mean, the thing with Dak is now, it's honest, though. It's a 10-year career. You got to win in the playoffs. At some point, you got to win.
But again, look at the team he's on right now. There's no chance of him winning. There's no chance of him winning in the postseason. There's zero chance of them
winning.
Their
offense is fine. They got skill position guys. Their offensive line hasn't been that bad this year.
I'm talking about a 53-man roster.
I think Jerry's going to make a move on that defense, though, if Dak wins a couple more games.
I'd go get
Trey Hendrickson. I could see like a Trey Hendrickson or something like that. Yeah, going to Dallas.
You know? Go to one of those teams like Cleveland. Make a move go to Cleveland because they're just about ready to start selling the ship.
I'm wondering if Howie's going to be a caller or how big of a player he might be at the deadline this year.
For Ward, the kid in Cleveland, the
I don't even know if it would be that. I'm wondering if it would be like maybe a player like a Jalen Phillips in Miami, a team that is clearly just not ready to win at all.
They're about ready to call it.
You know what I mean? 1 year left of a great big contract or something. I don't know. I'm curious to see how aggressive. Because if Howie's anything like he was this offseason, we making a team move.
What do you make of Milton Williams and Josh Sweat having like spectacular years?
I mean, that's awesome. It shows you how good our team was last year. I mean, think about this. Isaiah Rodgers.
Those guys haven't dropped off.
Think about that. No, they have not. Think about this though. We had Isaiah Rodgers on our bench as a cornerback three. That's how good our team was.
That is a great take.
You know, that's how good our team is.
You got a guy who could be a starting all pro.
Exactly.
Milton Williams, bench.
It's looking like I'm going to eat some crow because I thought Ajomo would be able to replace him. I always knew Milton was a great player, but boy, I'm happy for him, man. He really shows up on game tape. So impressive for Milton Williams. And Josh Sweat, I kind of knew would be good because he went back with Gannon.
That makes sense.
So I kind of figured that, but I'm happy for those guys, man. Look. At the end of the day, those guys are immortalized, just like guys who won on the 18 team, Chris Long. And, you know, he was here for what, 1 year? Yeah. You know, Philly loves those guys. So I got a lot of love for Milton. I got a lot of love for Josh Sweat. I got a lot of love for Darius Slay, for Isaiah Rock, for all those guys. I mean, look, at the end of the day, this is why,
why
you want to win it all, man. Because, think about the Phillies right now. I want everybody to think about this as an Eagle fan. And if you're a Philly fan, just as all four teams, think about this. the Eagles really did get it done. And I'm not trying to go back and be on the parade float. I'm just trying to explain the objective reality of the importance of winning a Super Bowl. They got it done. Like, they'll be regardless of what happens, if this thing blows up, if Jalen Hurts doesn't get another con, if Nick Sirianni gets it, they got it done. They're immortalized in this city. What will we think about this Phillies era in 10 years if they don't get it done? We'll be like, holy
missed
shit.
Opportunity.
Yep. Oh, we'll think of it like the Reed era in yeah. Philly. So the fact that you get it done, just it really is an awesome thing that they were able to do that. Phillies, I don't think are ever going to get it done now, because if they don't do it this year, you're probably going to see some major departures there. And, you know, that's a team that probably is closer to being blown up than being, you know, ready to win if they don't win this year. So, you do have to appreciate that the Eagles got it done last year. And we'll see what ends up happening, but those guys are immortalized to my point.
I want you to, answer the question. I want you to tell me about, so they making these hires for the head coach and not quarterback. They're because they're not developing the guy. You don't really think Jalen Hurts has been developed as a pocket passer?
I really don't. I think they've stopped developing the quarterback, and it bothers me to no end. He's 27 years old.
And guess what?
I think
the kid has the ability to advance and get better.
Think about that. I'm 27. Imagine if someone said to me, "Oh, what you are now, that's it.
That's it.
That's your peak in your career." I'd say, what the fuck? Jalen's a 27-year-old young man, man. You should be like you said, you should be investing every resource you have into developing and improving that player. And the fact that they don't is, I don't know what it tells you. I really don't. I don't know how to make of it. I don't know what to make of it.
A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. Isn't this more about a business relationship than it is about a personal relationship? This really is. Do we really care if they're friends? Or do we care more because don't you think that play embodies
the friends?
Which is, don't you think that play that, you know, people are suggesting that he stopped on? Isn't that more about professionalism? Isn't that more about a professional relationship than it is about a personal relationship? So, I mean, I get to some context of what John was saying where, hey, dude, I don't get into the gossip and who's friends with this and that. Why has their business relationship deteriorated to being listen, I don't think they hate one another. I don't think they hate one another. I think they actually probably like one another. But at the end of the day, how did the business relationship deteriorate so bad that this so-called meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I could care less if they're friends or not, but I think there is a real human element that you can't leave out. Like, if you hate somebody, like, you don't really want to work with them either. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they hate each other. I'm just saying,
yeah, you make
I don't
the rule
care about the personal. Yeah. It doesn't, like, Jalen, AJ, I couldn't give two shits if you guys are friends or not. But it does seem like it's come over to the field a little bit, you know, and you've seen that, I think, in the way they've responded to questions. Like, you know, and even, look, this is where I hate, you know, sometimes just beat reporters, and they're just like, oh, there's no merit to it. And I'm like, I'm listening to former football players say, your coach or your quarterback not talking to his receiver after not connecting on a deep shot is crazy. It's crazy. Like, they don't even have you miss on a deep shot that could have changed the game. You don't say one thing. You know, what happened there? You don't say a single thing. That's weird. So it's like, I hope it doesn't, it can't affect the field. And I'm hopeful that that's what this meeting addressed, you know, but I don't know, man. I don't really know what to make of it until I see how it unfolds. I'll tell you this though, the leash on putting up with it as it is right now, if they don't win another Super Bowl, will be so much shorter than people think. Like, so much shorter. Like, if they don't win a Super Bowl this year and this saga that we've had continues.
Who will it affect the most then?
Well, the easiest guy to move from a team perspective is AJ. It's not Jalen. And they would, they're, you know, you, you're the, I don't think they're moving Jalen.
I'm not in that room.
So I'm just saying, you know, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year and you think Jeffrey Lurie, who hates negative press so much so that he, you know, you get it. He hates negative press. He's not really going to, I don't think he's going to put up with it that long. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. Again, I don't give a shit if they're friends or if they're not. But you guys got to put that shit aside, because you guys got a chance to be a rarefied team, man. You guys got a chance to create your dynasty, you know, and cement yourselves in history. So I hope they do it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, and this is a fantasy question. And again, it's because it's something that will be addressed down the line. A guy like Joe Burrow with this offensive talent, not this offensive play calling, but with this offensive talent, do you think he'd win more Super Bowls and be in more Super Bowls and advance the offense more with Joe Burrow than with the style of play of Jalen Hurts? And before you answer, this is the same thing that Nick Saban did with Tua.
Yeah, I understand.
And with Hurts, who's going to get us more opportunities with the talent we have around us and elevate the talent around us? I'm not saying Jalen's done a poor job. The best career years that AJ's ever had were with Jalen. However, when they started to try to get balance, it's not capable of having balance. It's just not. They're not play calling balanced football. So I would ask you, wouldn't the organization go like this? Do you think if we upgraded the quarterback position to where we could utilize and maximize everything in our huddle, would it be better off that way or not? Or do you think they would still stick with the simplistic offense that they are running right now? How do you think they would approach that when it comes to his next contract?
Well, I think in theory, people would love to jump on that and say, absolutely, you'd win more Super Bowls. Here's what I think is guaranteed. I think you'd be rated higher offensively. All right. I think you'd have one of the best offenses in football, no matter what, like at the very, very top of the league every single year. I think that's a guarantee. But for me to sit here and say you guarantee win more Super Bowls would be naive, because that just discounts the amount of factors and things that go into actually winning a Super Bowl. I just got done explaining how immortalized and how hard it is to actually win a bowl. Just to replace with a better passer and assume, okay, we go through the playoffs, we go through every, like, it doesn't work like that. There's more factors that go into winning a Super Bowl. You know, if that were the case, then Aaron Rodgers would have a boatload of Super Bowls, or Dak Prescott would have Super Bowls, wouldn't he? I mean, he had the number one offense in football 3 years, and he had good defenses those years. So that's not the only thing. Now, yeah, we would probably have a more high-powered offense. There's no doubt about it. With AJ, with Devontae, with Dallas, with Saquon, I mean, you put a passer in there, yeah, it probably looks good, but I don't like using that because I don't think that's always the recipe to win. And I think that's been pretty evidenced by the Super Bowl winners, you know, in history.
Well, Saban won.
Saban replaced him in the game. You know what I mean? Like,
He never got his job back.
Yeah, and then guess what they never did? They never won another national championship with Tua as the quarterback.
Okay.
Because he got hurt, because this happened. But there's always different variables. You know what I mean? Jalen brings different things to the game. Now, I'm not going to be naive and say Jalen Hurts can throw the ball like Joe Burrow or will work AJ. I'm not saying that.
I don't think it's a guarantee.
I don't think you just replace Jalen with a better passer and boom, the number one offensive football in five Super Bowls.
I don't think he's a better passer than Mac Jones.
Jalen?
Yeah.
He's not. Mac Jones is a great pick. You don't win a Heisman Trophy as a wide receiver without a vehicle that can throw you the football.
I completely agree with Nick that, you know, New England, they dropped the ball on that guy, because I'll tell you what, if I were Kyle Shanahan this weekend against the Bucs, I'm not sure I'm going back to Purdy on that, what I saw.
Yeah,
that
right. I like Mac.
That Mac kid was throwing the football.
How much do you put on this, though, the it factor? Like, because that's kind of what I was alluding to some extent.
Well, that's also what Doug said yesterday, too.
Huh?
Doug said that yesterday too.
Yeah, I think it matters, dude.
I listen. The it factor. You know what? What does the it factor mean to you?
The ability when the lights are the brightest to be at your best, and to elevate crunch time. When the pressure in the tube is at its highest point, when it's damn near ready to buckle, there are people in life who buckle, and there are people in life who rise above it. That, to me, is the it factor. Brady had it. Jordan had it. Kobe had it. Jalen, in a short career so far, has proven that he's had it as a quarterback. In the biggest moments of his career, he's really rose up. Now, he's had moments where he didn't, but shit, every athlete does. So that to me is what the it factor means.
I think his resume is impressive.
What's that?
I think his resume is impressive.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
You think Nick Sirianni has been a liability or asset to Jalen Hurts?
Eh, I think you got to say asset. I think you have to with this. I don't know. It's more done.
But the coordinator hires?
This is being clouded by the success they've had together. Because just like I just got done explaining, you can't just swap out a quarterback and expect to have the same success.
You say the same about a coordinator.
Now, if you're talking to me about strictly Jalen Hurts,
yeah, as a player, Hurts.
Forget about the team. Forget about the accolades. No. Then I would say
has he been an asset or liability to Jalen Hurts?
From a pure playing perspective, I don't know if he's been that big of an – or he's been an asset, but you could find a bigger asset would be my take. Like, I've never seen – Doug Peterson had Jalen Hurts throwing the ball in a complex 12-personnel offense, 300-plus yards, his rookie year, okay? His rookie year. That was Jalen Hurts who did that.
Yeah, I remember.
Now it's like we've dumbed down the thing to like the point where Jalen's being asked that. And I get it. We have different team now, and I understand all those different things. But, you know, I do think there would be a coach out there who would have been able to take Jalen's skill set and really, really push it to levels where, beyond what it is right now. The natural reality of the way the Eagles play football is, and I know fans love to say, well, we won, but who cares? I agree. We won, who cares? But there is other – you know, there's a reaction to every action. You know, the action that we've taken is become run first and win with Saquon. The reaction to that is your quarterback stopped developing and getting better because they didn't use him as much. So that's a fair statement. I think Doug would have got more out of him. And I don't even know if it's all about Doug. I think imagine if they hired a Kingsbury, or imagine if they hired, you know, I don't know. Imagine if he had a Sean McVay or something like that. Now maybe those guys wouldn't like whatever. Imagine if he had a guy who's so committed to bringing the most out of the quarterback. Even a Todd Monken's a good example.
Why won't they hire those guys?
Have they tried?
No. Kellen Moore was fired twice. So he was kind of on his last respirator. And Shane came with Nick. They just haven't hired. How about this? You hire a quality guy like Vic, right? We would consider Vic the best defensive coordinator in the NFL, right? Why can't you hire somebody like that for Jalen?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how many of them there are. All these offensive coaches, they all want these head coaching jobs, every one of them. And I get it. It's like a wanting a career. It's like a wanting a raise. It's wanting a bigger – you know, it's wanting a promotion. It's wanting to succeed in your career. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying it. It seems like they're a lot smaller breed. Like, unless they went with a guy like you know who would be interesting to me? And then people are going to hate this name, but just like the concept. Who's that guy right now in Kansas City? Matt Nagy?
Matt Nagy.
He is an awful head coach in Chicago.
I think he's a hell of a coordinator.
Hell of a coordinator. He's been sitting with Doug or with Andy Reid for how many years? He's got all this experience. He's been through a success and failure. He's seen so many different things. Again, take that name out. I'm not saying go and get Matt Nagy. I'm saying somebody with that type of pedigree. That doesn't have this young name flash that's going to be a head coach.
You mean like Frank Reich?
Yeah, Frank Reich would be great. I don't think they'd go back down that Frank Reich road, though, because the ego of this organization is massive. They don't want
to. Yeah, but here, guess what? You wouldn't have to worry about him getting another head coaching job.
I agree. And I think he'd bring out the best of Jalen and at least advance Jalen, you know? I know people love that Mike McDaniel name. Not my favorite dude, but.
Do you think that guy'd fit in Philly? I don't know. Okay, what do you make of the Giants, dude? On Thursday night, what do you think? What's your takeaway on them? I mean, they got Dart in there now. I think some of the numbers are skewed a little bit because the defense has been on the field so long. The three and outs, they're back constantly out there. It's kind of clouded that front seven. I think there's a good front seven there, but how do you see this Giants? I mean. We'll get more of it, obviously, tomorrow when it comes to our predictions, bud. What do you think?
Good defensive line, but overall, shoddy team.
Shoddy. I
mean, you're just not a good team.
There's nowhere where they have an advantage.
They're setting up their young quarterback for failure because you have a coach and a general manager there right now who are on life support, and if they don't throw that quarterback to the Wolves, they're gone anyway. So in a last ditch effort, it's like, we have nothing to lose. Me speaking, Dable and Schoen, get the rookie quarterback in, even though we know he's not going to be successful. Even though we know we might stunt his growth, even though he could get hurt behind that offensive line, they don't care. They're just trying to save their themselves, because if they had another year, if they were guaranteed next year, I truly don't believe that that quarterback would be.
They're playing. Not going to build the next. They're not going to build the team for the next guy.
Right. They're building. They're well, no, they're trying to save their job right now too. Let's be real. They're on rest.
Right, everything is about the now right now.
Yeah. So
okay. So
I don't think they're in a good shape from that perspective. I like Jackson Dart. I don't think Jackson Dart is the type of quarterback that will a team with bad resources to a boatload of success. I think if you have good things around him, he could be a productive player. I like him. I think he's got a good career ahead of him, but I don't think he's ready in this spot, that's for sure. Certainly not. They lost without Shepard. They're lost neighbors. So they're looking at who? Jalen Hyatt. And who's that? What's that other guy's name? I'm blanking. Robinson.
Yeah,
that guy. And Bo something. They don't have a lot of weapons out there right now. All right. That offensive line. Now, they did get Andrew Thomas back, their left tackle, who's a good player. So that helps, but they're not ready to compete with us. If we lose this game, yeah, you're going to have issues, because I think you're looking at deeper problems with the Eagles. I don't think the Eagles will lose this football game.
You lose this football game against the Giants, you'd be lucky to win 9 games. If you lose this, they're not that good.
I'm not going to go that far, because I just think Vic is going to be I think Vic.
Dude,
is going
to if you
be
lose good. To that talentless New York Giant team, they
got some talent. They got defensive line talent,
bro. If that's the only metric, and they beat you.
Boy. No, I'm just saying, like, they can create some pressure, and when you can create pressure, you can neutralize a game, So if they're able to get pressure with no Landon Dickerson, with Tyler Steen, Cam Jurgens doesn't look the same. I mean, you can get a lot of pressure on that interior. That's all I'm saying. It's the NFL, man. I'm not saying.
I can't name their running back except that kid Skeetaboo that they got. I mean, they got one good left off the tackle.
I think Skeetaboo's overrated.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's okay. I mean, what people like him because he get bunch, he lowered
his head. Sumerian 2.0. He's somebody like that.
Ben Van Sumerian walked so Cam Scatterbo could run.
And a running back. He's the next. He's the next superstar, John Riggins. I mean, you're like, dude, relax. He's Van McMullen.
Let me ask you something. How do you think Jalen Hurts' career in Philadelphia will end? Retired here? Will he get traded? Will he get cut? How do you think it ends?
Really?
It's a big projection. I mean, I guess people will hold you to this, so maybe you want to.
Okay, no, I'm all right with that.
No, they don't have to hold. Don't hold it to him. It's just his thought in the moment.
He'll be run out of town.
You think so?
Joe Montana was run out of town. Who the fuck is Jalen Hurts?
Donovan McNabb was too.
They're all run out of town. Peyton Manning was run out of town. Tom Brady was run out of town. They all fucking were run out of town. Who's your boy? He ain't nobody special next to them guys. People want him to go out like John Elway. Love you. See you guys. Bye.
Chip Brady won 6. MVP. Brady won 6 in New England and got run out of town.
Right. Carson Wentz got run out of town, didn't he? You haven't had a quarterback here that you haven't run out of town.
We've never had a football champ.
Fair enough. You ran Randall out of town. You ran Donovan McNabb out of town.
You know one of my favorite videos of
Jalen Hurts? Doug Peterson out of town.
You know one of my favorite videos of Jalen Hurts is? It's on the field in the Super Bowl when we won this past year. And the confetti's falling. And the PR guy runs up to him and says, "You're the Super Bowl MVP." And he looks at him and he goes, "Super Bowl champ." In other words, fuck the MVP. I want to be the champ. That's one of my favorite videos of Jalen Hurts. I don't know, man. We're in uncharted territory. We've never had a quarterback with this much success.
Did you run Nick Foles out of town?
Nick Foles is a different story, dude. You called it the greatest substitute teacher story you've ever seen yesterday with Doug Peterson. Different story.
Okay, so if different you would have stuck with Doug instead of – we would have stuck with Foles instead of Wentz. You think Wentz goes back
to
another –
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Foles compared to Hurts as the two Super Bowl winners are very different.
Okay.
Jalen was the – we never won a Super Bowl with a starting quarterback.
I'm just talking about people being run out of town.
I know, but we've not, the, my point is you're going off a history that never included Super Bowl winners.
Okay. Those other guys I mentioned – Joe Montana got run out of town in San Francisco. He got Peyton Manning got ran out of town.
And how many Super Bowls? How many Super Bowls do you think Jalen Hurts ends his career with?
Organization's fucking great.
Organization's amazing right now.
It's a fucking great organization. However, they move off of people quickly. They don't like something that's going on, they'll fire a Super Bowl coach and they'll move off a first-round pick no matter how much money they gave. And don't forget something, too. You guys ate fucking $32 million in money when it came to Wentz. You said, fuck this guy. Oh, and by the way,
Was an airhead. He couldn't handle Philly. I love Carson. I got a lot of love for Carson. In fact, I root for Carson still. We don't have a Super Bowl, our first Super Bowl, without Carson. And in many ways, we might not have our second Super Bowl without Carson because the makings of Jalen Hurts happened in large part because of Carson. So Carson, in a way, is a catalyst for all of the success we've had right now. So I got a lot of love for Carson, but very different guy than Jalen Hurts.
Okay, well, I thought it was interesting what Doug said yesterday that Hurts was not drafted to be the guy.
No, he wasn't. But to his credit, a lot of guys aren't drafted to be the guy. Tom Brady wasn't drafted to be the guy. Dak Prescott wasn't drafted to be the guy. I mean, you know, those
Montana players. Montana wasn't.
Right? Those
players. Brady wasn't.
There's certain people in life sales that rise. They're an unstoppable force.
Opportunity.
Right. They take advantage of opportunity, and they're inevitable. And I don't say that to act like he's – you know, one of the greatest of all time. I just say it. In life, you see that. And Jalen rose to the top for a reason. Jalen became the starter for a reason, you know, and I think the rest is history. But we'll see how it unfolds, man. There's a lot still to go.
You're still hanging on your 14 wins?
I think I had 13, right?
13 wins, okay. You're still hanging there?
I think 13 is still a good number for this team. I mean, I think they got to work on this offense, though. They got to find their – you just got to find the identity, right? Like, what are we pursuing? I keep asking this question. What is the goal of the offense right now? Last year, after the bye week, you said it yesterday, we established we're going to be a run team. And then some days it wasn't perfect, but your pursuit was to dominate in the run game and let everything build off of that. Is that our goal right now? Is that what we're building toward? Is it to be more passing team? What is the pursuit of the offense this year? And then I'm okay to not be there yet because you don't have to be there in October. But I don't even know what it is yet. And I'm not sure that they know what it is yet, which I think is a bigger problem. So that's what I think they got to figure out. But if they do figure that out, I think the defense is in a good spot. I think health is the biggest factor for this team this year. I think something that's not being talked about is every person on that offensive line has dealt with injuries, including Saquon now. You know, the only guy who hasn't was the guy who didn't play last year with this team.
Yeah.
And we talked about the reps to Saquon Barkley ad nauseum. What about the reps to the guys blocking for those 400 carries? You know, what about the reps for the receivers who blocked for those 400 carries? What type of impact, you know, does that have on this team this year with the injuries and stuff? Because I will say, and it's not bad yet. We haven't lost, like, players for the year or anything. But we're more banged up now than I remember being in recent years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something to keep an eye on this year. But I still feel good about 13, man. I think they can be good.
That's exactly what I said earlier, too, about – I didn't say all the guys, the receivers, because you're right on the receivers too, but Saquon Barkley's 2,000-yard rushing season, man, took its toll on the O-line too, dude.
Yeah, I agree. There's no doubt.
And Juergens is a casualty of it.
Juergens, Dickerson, I mean.
They are casualties. I mean, there's no way you're not going to tell me that that's not some of the issues that you have going into this thing here is that offensive line here, man. I mean, wow. I mean,
no, you're right. I mean, look, that's a big part. If that, but here, you know, if that offensive line, you know, can hypothetically return to, I don't know, 80% of what they were last year, you're probably looking at a pretty dominant team again, you know? So we'll see. We'll see how it can, we'll see how it plays out. But overall, I still do think like, hey, we got a great roster, you know. We have a great defensive coordinator. Offensive coordinator is very suspect, but we'll see how he manages. We got, you know, a quarterback that is now a veteran. You got all veterans really across that entire offense except for Tyler Steen. So I think you're in a good spot. I think that defense is ahead of schedule, and you got Vic there. So I think you're in a good spot. You know, I think they just got to figure out this offense thing. And once they do, I feel like we'll be in a.
You know, do you think that the next 3 weeks is figure it out time? Because when you come out of the bye, you're at Green Bay. Dude, that Detroit team. Oh, by the way, I revamped something here.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, I think the Lions right now. Oh, no, I know what it was. Here, let me finish this. Green Bay, Detroit. You got Green Bay, Detroit, Dallas, and Chicago. When you come out of the bye. Then you have the Chargers as well, who can throw the football. You're going to need health.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be in a position where, like I said, you're going to be tested when you come out of that bye. Do you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Look, that's the beauty of the NFL, man. You got great teams. You got great competition. You got, you know, good people in your – by the way, I don't think a lot of people are talking about this. You know, what's happened in the NFL in the last couple of years? The NFC has become a better conference in many ways than the AFC. If you did your top 10 teams right now, how many AFC teams would you have on there?
Let's take a look at that.
I got the Bills on there, obviously.
Here, look at this. This
is CBS on there right now.
This is CBS's list here.
Okay, let's hear theirs.
Number 10, they have the Broncos.
Okay, that's AFC.
They have the 49ers at 9.
Okay.
They have the Jags at 8.
Okay, that's a little high for them, but that's fine. That's
AFC. Packers for at 7. They've got the Colts at 6. They've got the Steelers.
Man, I don't like this list at all.
5. Now here's your top 4. You got the Bucks at 4. They've got the Bills at 3. Eagles 2. And Lions 1. Lions, Eagles, Bills, Bucks, Steelers, Colts, Packers, Jaguars, Niners, and Broncos.
I got the Jags and Broncos both outside my top 10 still a little bit. I think the Patriots are making a push for the top 10. But, I mean, let me just rattle the NFC teams I'm thinking right now for my top 10 right now off the top of my head. Detroit, L.A.,
Green Bay. I'm with you.
Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and you could probably make an argument for Washington.
Or the probably. Packers.
I said the Packers.
Okay. Washington, maybe the Seahawks.
Seahawks probably top 15, but.
Okay.
Now, there's AFC teams that are close. Jags, Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers. Steelers, I think, I just don't have them in my top 10, but so I guess it's still pretty. I guess
I'm gonna also say something to you here on this. Are the Lions like a superstar dominant team? I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're good. Are the Eagles? They got flaws. The Bills, definitely not. The Bucks got injuries too right now. The Steelers are up and down. They're helter skelter in a way. The Colts. I mean, are you buying that pumpkin yet? I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm kind of starting to buy it because I think they got a coach right now that's accentuating their quarterback. They got an offensive line. That's one of
they got a really good defense.
And they got a great defense. Like, how did the Eagles win the Super Bowl last year? We won the Super Bowl with a great offensive line and a great defense and solid quarterback play. Right now, Steichen has Daniel Jones playing really well. Now that he could turn into a pumpkin in the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But I'm just saying, I think they're going to be at least like a team that is good through the regular season, in my opinion. They could win 12, 13 games this year. I could see that.
Right now, the Colts are fourth in total offense.
That's incredible.
That's and they're
playing really good, man.
Get this, they're fourth in passing offense. They are ninth in rushing offense. Holy shit! And they're second.
You know, too, and you said it. Maybe they could be a top 10. Seattle is quietly playing really good football. Now they're 3-2, and they don't have a perfect record, but they're playing really good football right now. If you watch a Seattle game, they're playing good football, and Sam Darnold looks really good. You know, so dude,
this Colts team is okay. Well, I know it's early. I got it. Let me take a look at them on defense. So the Colts
are. What are you looking at? The rankings?
Yeah. They're 14th in total defense. And passing defense, they're 19th. Rush defense, they're 12th. So they're a little bit light. Now, scoring defense, they're third.
Remember, some of that you got, it's tough to know because if I don't watch all the games, even the Eagles defense, I think, is messed up right now because the offense just leads the league in three and outs, which is just, the offense is fine. No, the offense is not fine. Leading the league in three and outs is huge.
I'm not really upset where the Eagles are right now, ranking wise.
Offense is bad. Offense has to be better.
Let's read some of these supers, brother.
Yeah, we got to run. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody. Chasen, is that Chasen from Twitter? Chasen, do I have you on Twitter? Is that you? Is that the same Chasen? I got to reach out to you. You want a jersey, Chasen. I forgot to DM you yesterday, but I knew you would answer, so I got it in for you. Chasen says, I love Hurts, and we can't understate what he's done for us, specifically in the playoffs, Super Bowls he's played in, but I always wonder what this offense would look like with McKee. He always looks so sharp. I think it's fair to wonder that, but welcome to being an NFL fan where the backup quarterback is – the flashiest item on every football team, you know?
But, Andrew, you bring the point up all the time here, and it's true. Dude, passing offense doesn't equate into Super Bowls. Balanced offense equates in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or being dominant at one, like they were a year ago. That's what wins, man, and non-turnovers. That's what is totally the reason that the Eagles are 4-1 right now is because of the lack of turnovers.
Yeah, good shit. I agree. Chasen, thanks for the $10. I see it's you too. Thank you, dude. I got to reach out to you. You want a jersey, so I'll get it to you. Pumper says, take away push touchdowns. What does Jalen Alexander Hurts do at an elite level? MFer says, win. I'm going to question your football acumen.
Dude, if you Pumper's take –
relentless.
Dude, he is, man. I mean, they just have not developed a quarterback. You know what?
Mark took it out of his hands. And I think, we talked about this on this segment. The natural evolution of taking the ball out of the quarterback's hands is that he stops developing, you know? And I think it's a little bit unfortunate. I'll say that, you know? I mean, I don't know what you want to say about the deeper meaning there. I see Mark Holmes smiling his ass off in the fucking green. Talking about Jalen Hurts.
But you know what? He said this. If you remember what he said last year, if you think Kellen Moore is going to come in here and develop Jalen Hurts as a passer, he's not. And he never did. Well, and on top of that, again, if it wasn't for the fact that we had the iconic run game a year ago, you know, it would never be exposed. And it's exposed now because you don't have that same run game.
Yeah, well, we'll see. NJ gives a smiley face. Thank you, NJ. I was watching you yesterday, NJ. I should have put a message in the chat, but I was watching the great NJ Fishing Maniac channel, a great channel. Everybody check it out. Rich says, Sills, you have a shot to get Stephen A on? That's a good one. Rich's profile picture with the Jacob hat under the fucking Eagle logo. That is great.
Rich, I've never asked him. I will ask him.
I could get Clay Travis on. I know people hate on Stephen A., but working in this business, I respect Stephen A. because that dude does a lot of shit, man. He's on podcast. He's on every. Bro, I'm like, he's a workhorse. There's no doubt.
I always respect people who build a brand.
I respect people who work their balls off, and he does. Eric Long says, Doug and Frank got together, watched tape to see what Foles liked, and changed to RPO. Adaptability is more important because of injury. I agree, Eric. I agree. Kind of what we were talking about earlier.
I think he loved the fact when I said three backup quarterbacks delivered a Super Bowl. You could tell him smiling when I said that to him. And he's like, yeah, we just all – we worked together. We changed the offense, and we ended up going on that iconic run. He goes, hey, dude, how about when he said Philly, Philly? He goes, you know what?
Yeah, dude, that was a good clip.
Dude.
I've never heard that the coaches didn't know.
So the coaches didn't hear the play.
Yeah, I never heard that.
And it was just him and Foles. He comes back on, and they go, what'd you call? Philly special.
Oh,
they must
gosh.
Have fucking shit their brick, man.
Dude, you were great on that interview, dude. I know I've been glazing you for it, but you were. It was a really good interview. Kyle says, I'd rather have Bobby Slowick than have to deal with Kevin Kotai.
Kevin Kotai.
I don't know. What the fuck did Bobby Slowick do? He had like an okay offense, didn't he?
Hey, by the way, your boy CJ Stroud was the offensive AFC.
My boy. Why are you saying my boy? Look, he's my boy.
Offensive player of the week.
All right, great. Stroud. Wait, why are you saying my boy?
Well, because you think he sucks now.
I do not. What? Sometimes you make shit up. I never said that.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. James M. says, what's the one thing all of our issues have in common? Lack of discipline. Undisciplined penalties, game plan, pass block.
Wait a minute. Where's Nick?
Yeah, that's Nick. That's Nick's Nick. Happy work shit ass on the sideline.
That's Nick's stuff right here, right? Or is it Big Dom?
I guess.
Come on, dog. That's all Nick stuff. Nick's the guy with the culture. Hey, how about him being asked a question? Hey, so what do you make of, you know, that meeting? Well, you know, it's professionals being professional. I know, man. I know. He's just so fucked up. Dude, you don't think he's overrated?
Who's overrated?
Nick.
Nick's a bit overrated. But look, he does deserve some credit. Even if it doesn't look like I want it to look, and even if it looks goofy as hell,
he does.
To have that record, to have that success.
If you said he's overrated, I'm going to give you also he does deserve it too. Yes.
Well, you know, and sometimes it's like, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Yes. You know, it's like sometimes it's like your opinion doesn't mean shit, mine included. Like, dude, he's successful. You know, what does my opinion matter? He figured out how to work in that organization with that quarterback, with that team, with that offense, with that defense, with everything he has to make it into success. Would everybody do that? I don't think everybody would do
okay.
that.
Okay. I'm going to use a Charles Barkley line on you. By the way, we got Mark Holmes. We're waiting on the other guy. We see him back there. Hey, listen, by the way.
I love
him. I'm going to use a Barkley line on you here. You think Nick Sirianni is a bus rider and not the bus driver?
I think that's what this organization wants, though. The whole organization is a bus in that way. It's actually more of like – it's more of like a rowboat where they're, you know, Nick is like the coxswain maybe or something. But like, everybody's got to row an oar. Like, dude, they're too big. All these companies are so big now, man. They don't run it like one coach has all the say anymore. You know, they just don't. It's just not run that way. Mark would love me talking about Dak right now. I've been giving Dak his credit, dude. And the Eagles fans are not liking it.
No way, man. Dak Prescott.
I was texting my boy today. One of my buddies who's a Cowboy fan, I was texting him about Dak. He was telling me he's insane, dude. He's insane. I'm like, all right, he's got to win in the playoffs, but he's having a good year. There's no doubt.
I'm going to drive Philly 500 nuts here because I am. I'm telling you, man.
Dude, Dak's having a good year. But at the end of the day, Philly's right. Like, 10-year career, it's not year four for Dak. So, like, at some point, you do have to play in the big moments. But he is the September and October champion, is Dakota Prescott. You got to give him credit. He's playing good football right now.
Dak Prescott is playing MVP football.
I would agree with that. He's probably top three in the race right now.
Yeah, he's top three in the conversation right now.
Josh is probably number one.
Josh is one. Put Mayfield up there.
Will Daniel Jones be up there?
Daniel Jones is up there. Shit, man, you might even want to start putting in the top 10 Drake May.
Oof. I like Drake May. All right, so I got to run, brother.
Good stuff. That bold prediction, I said the Patriots would make the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Now, it's early yet. It's early.
I like Drake last year. He looked good last year.
I know
year,
you dude. Did. You've always liked him. All right, brother. Catch you on Bird 365.
Later, dude.